Hi, this is CJ Wilson for the Green Bay Packers, and you listen to Railbird Central.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking Packers football, and I wish we were gathering at this here podcast under better circumstances, as it is a season-ending edition of Railbird Central. We're talking about a Packers playoff loss to the 49ers on Sunday. To do so, to kind of recap the entire Packers 2013 season, we have a guest joining us on the phone. We have Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports Shutdown Corner blog. Eric, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us. We have you here to talk about a Packers playoff loss, and if I had to say so, Colin Kaepernick kind of had the upper hand over Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. Do you think Colin Kaepernick was the difference in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was making some extremely good plays out there. I was very impressed. I mean, obviously, the one interception, I thought he got a little cute there, and obviously there was one late in the game that I'm sure you guys will remember quite well with Micah Hyde there, but I got away with one there. But just his playmaking ability with his feet, and I suspect that coming into this game we were going to see more read option, and you know they hadn't really used it a ton this year, but that to me was the difference, just those scrambles that the Packers just couldn't get their paws on him a couple times, and you beat him to the corner, get that key first down. And that's a backbreaker for a defense that does almost everything, you know, plays the play out correctly, but then has that happen to him. That really has to hurt.
The 49ers have now eliminated the Packers from the playoffs for two straight seasons and their last four meetings overall. Is the difference between these two teams really just a slim three-point difference? Because it feels like more to a Packers fan who's dealing with a loss today.
Yeah, I mean, you have to ask yourself, what would have happened if they played that game in Omaha? You know, what would have happened had they played that game at Candlestick? So, you know, there's obviously a difference whether you're going to play the game in Green Bay or not. And, you know, I think if you just stack the two teams up, for some reason there are some matchups that just do not work out well in Green Bay's favor. You know, Green Bay can beat 80 or 90% of the teams in this league, but, you know, for whatever reason, it just seems like the 49ers sort of have their number, even though this game came down to a handful of plays. I mean, it just seems like they've had the upper edge in the head-to-head matchup. That happens sometimes. So, you know, it's obviously Packers are going to try to concern themselves as much with rounding out their roster as they are with beating just the 49ers. That doesn't make a lot of sense to just focus on that.
Packers are 3-5 in their last eight playoff games at Lambeau Field. Is that mystique kind of gone? How do you feel about the cold weather and what the Packers have going for them, which hasn't been much in the playoffs lately?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, from everything I read, I wasn't at the game, but everything I heard from last night, it didn't sound like the weather was much of a factor. I mean, it sounded like it was cold, but, you know, did that end up changing the game that much? Probably not. You know, I don't think cold temperatures are one thing, wind is another. Now, as far as the Packers' mystique, as far as Lambeau Field, you know, that may affect a few guys on the field. That may get into a couple guys' heads, but really, I don't know how much effect there is on that. Does home field advantage matter in the NFL? Yes, but it has a lot to do with feeding off the energy of the crowd, you know, the other team having to travel, get out of their element, that sort of thing. I'm not sure that really has a huge effect in the NFL. I could be wrong, but in my opinion, it really doesn't.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a greater effect in something like the college game, but we're talking to Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports Shutdown Corner here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Eric, just how much do you think injuries impacted this Packers team this season? They've been dealing with an unusually high amount of injuries for several seasons now. Is it bound to regress toward the mean eventually?
Yeah, I missed the last part of your question, but the injury factor was undeniable this season. I mean, I kind of threw it out there on Twitter about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I said, who suffered more injuries than the Patriots? And everybody said, Packers. And I said, wait a minute, I think you're right. It took me a minute to kind of realize just how devastated they've been. I obviously knew the factor, but, you know, when you consider everything from starting cornerback to key pieces on defense, offensive line shuffling they've done, wide receiver, you know, running back. I mean, just every position seemed to have at least one major injury that changed the plan. So that obviously speaks to the incredible job that Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy do. I know people there probably roll their eyes when I say something like that, but really, I mean, with Bill Belichick in New England, same thing too. I mean, having to reshuffle the deck every week and say, you know, what can we prove? What do we got? What can we do this week? And specifically tailor make your game plans for what you have. I mean, that's an impressive job in the NFL. So, you know, every team could use more depth. There's no doubt about it. I mean, but there's only 53 men on the roster and only 46 of them play on game day. Should that change in the NFL rules? Absolutely. I mean, is there any reason to have 8 inactives on game day? No. But I really think that, you know, the teams that have that depth at the end of the season are the ones that end up doing pretty well. And, you know, the Packers just got stung by injuries.
That is an interesting thought, and something I wonder if they'll talk about in the offseason in the NFL. You're right. The inactive list is, I think, unusually large, and maybe that is time for a change there. Now that the season's over in Green Bay, Eric, I think there's a lot of speculation about Dom Capers' future in Green Bay. There's kind of this chicken or the egg debate in Green Bay. Is it the players or is it the coordinator? What do you think?
Well, you know, I feel like Dom gets a bad rap sometimes. I mean, I thought he had a couple of really well-timed blitzes last night. You know, and everybody sort of makes the point of, well, when they come, you know, when they get home, he looks great. You know, when the blitzes work, he looks great. When they don't, you know, the other 60% of the time, he doesn't. And, you know, I understand that's his thing, but they've built this team around his identity and his, you know, the knowledge of his pressure 3-4 system. So, you know, I feel like he's too much of a scapegoat sometimes. You know, I mean, you know, Nick Perry's got to be a better player. You know, I mean, they've got to have a better health on this side of the ball. Morgan Burnett's got to play better than he has. I mean, you know, and I'm just, you know, throwing things out there. I don't think it's the scheme that's preventing these guys from playing well. So, you know, it's really easy to say fire the coordinator. Okay, who are you bringing in? Who's going to improve on what they've done to this point? You know, is Dom Capers the end-all, be-all play caller? No, but a couple years ago in the playoffs, a pretty nice little run there, I would say. So it just, you know, everything, people get really stubborn about this stuff, and I think get really, you know, upset about the coordinator's play calls. But to me, I feel like he gets something of a bad rap, and that it really isn't his fault entirely.
In Green Bay, there's no choice but to look forward to the NFL draft now. Eric, what do you think are some of the needs on this Packers team now that the season's over?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the unfortunate injury to JerMichael Finley left the tight end position kind of bare. If the right guy is there in round one, Jason Morrow, Texas Tech, somebody like that, Eric Ebron, North Carolina, great, take him. If not, there's a drop-off, I think. You know, it's probably a 1 or 2 round drop-off. It's really early, but those are a couple names to keep in mind. You know, I've been disappointed with Morgan Burnett's play. I think the other safety spot could be improved. That's a spot you certainly have to look at. I'm not sure if round one is the right spot for them to take somebody. You know, the kid out of Alabama, Clinton Dix, a lot of people like him. I need to see more of him. So we'll see about that one. But safety would be a need. You know, we saw last night, Adey Malumba goes down. You know, you're having to shuffle and essentially play a 4-3 defense, and I think linebacker depth would be nice. I think having a versatile linebacker to play a couple different spots would be pretty good there. But, you know, those are a couple things that a couple good places to start, I think.
Finally, before we let you go, Eric, is the window still open for this Packers team to be Super Bowl contenders in the near future?
I think 4 or 5 more years. Maybe I'm crazy, but I mean, as long as Aaron Rodgers is on the team and as long as he's upright, you have a shot to win it. I mean, we've seen far, far lesser quarterbacks go on and win the Super Bowl in recent years. So, you know, my opinion is if you have somebody of that caliber and you up the defense, you add that tight end, you just sort of fortify everything, you've got a chance. I mean, I don't think they need to clean house. Maybe I'm, you know, I know that's the natural reaction the next day, fire everybody, this, you know, get rid of this guy. To me, I think just upgrading a couple of key spots makes them a contender, especially in the NFC North, which seems so volatile. I don't really think this is a – I think it's a good division, but I don't think it's a great division.
Yeah, I think you made Packer fans very happy, wanting to hear that the window is open for the next 5-7 years, whatever. I tend to agree. As long as Aaron Rodgers is there, I think they have a chance. So, but Eric, I appreciate you coming on the show this morning, taking a little time out to talk to us here at Cheesehead TV. Will you be at the Super Bowl?
I will not this year. You know, being new to Yahoo, I'm a little bit lower on the totem pole, so I think – you know, they've got some other guys who paid their dues will be there. But I'll be, another game or two along the way, and I'll be down at the Senior Bowl in Alabama. So I've got some things coming up.
Ah, very cool. So I love the Senior Bowl as well. But thank you so much for talking to us, Eric. Let's do it again sometime.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me. Really.
All right. Take care. Eric Hedholm of Yahoo Sports joining us at Railbird Central this morning, talking Packers football, talking a Packers playoff loss. I wish there was more I could do to ease your concerns this morning. I know we could sit here and talk the windows open for the next 5 to 7 years, but on a Monday morning where it really does feel like hell is frozen over in Wisconsin, I don't know. For those of you who don't live in the state, you know, there, of course, was a lot of attention yesterday on the Packers game and how cold it was, and no doubt a cold day. But really today, it is far colder in Wisconsin on a Monday. Schools statewide have canceled classes. Businesses are closed. You name it. I mean, the temperatures are seriously about 15 below zero, and the wind chills are you know, make it colder than that. I've heard the wind chills can get as much as negative 45 below zero, so definitely a cold day here, and it not doing much to brighten Packers' spirits the day after a playoff loss. But, I mean, you know, going back to this game here, I do think, you know, the difference was Colin Kaepernick over Aaron Rodgers. And not that Aaron Rodgers had a bad game. I think the Packers were just about average in every facet of the game on Sunday. You know, they didn't have a single turnover, which is great. I mean, so often it's the team that wins the turnover battle wins the game. I mean, that wasn't the case yesterday, but they did a good job protecting the ball. They took the ball away once, almost twice. And, you know, on defense, they got enough that it was, again, the bend but don't break defense, where they gave up, you know, how many field goals did Phil Dawson have? 3 by the end of the game. So they hold them to field goals instead of touchdowns. And again, like I said, you know, the Packers are average in just about every facet of the game, but, you know, that doesn't cut it. It was Colin Kaepernick, I think, was the difference in the game. And I know that, heck, before coming on air here on Railbird Central, I talked with Bart Winkler over at K107, my biweekly interview there, talking about Packers reviews and games. And you know, Bart was so, you know, I can't believe the Packers lose to an average quarterback like Colin Kaepernick. And you know, you don't have to win games with your arm. You don't have to. There's no rule that says that. And Colin Kaepernick, what he is, he's a great athlete. He got the job done on the ground, and the Packers simply didn't have the speed so many times. You know, once he got outside of the pocket, it was all over. I mean, it was almost a guaranteed first down for Colin Kaepernick almost every time, because he just gets to the edge and gets, you know, 10 yards up the sideline and gets the first and keeps the chains moving. You know, it was a disappointing day from that aspect. I really think, you know, these things that, you know, Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel harps on so often, and more often than not, they're right. I mean, maybe it doesn't tell the whole story, but this Packers defense, especially lacking in speed. You know, last year it was their lacking in toughness. This year, lacking in speed, I guess. But, you know, I do think it's true. The Packers linebacker corps, just, you know, a step slow, especially when you compare them to the 49ers. There's no difference. I mean, Brad Jones versus Colin Kaepernick to the edge. Well, of course, it's, you know, Colin Kaepernick's going to get the better of him. and the Packers need to improve there. And, you know, I kind of want to avoid draft talk today. We've got 4 months to do that here. I kind of want to try to stick to this Packers loss here, talking about the playoffs today, the end of the season. And we've got plenty of time to talk draft here, but no doubt about it, speed is a need on this Packers team, one they're going to have to address, and one of the reasons they lost on Sunday. But it doesn't all fall on the defense yesterday. The Packers offense just couldn't get anything going. Like we said, you know, the good thing, they didn't turn the ball over, but the bad thing, they just didn't get anything going yesterday. It was just, you know, when they ran the ball, Eddie Lacy was his usual reliable self. But what, Eddie Lacy averaged less than 4 yards a carry. You know, what did he average? I got the stats right in front of me here. Eddie Lacy averages 3.9 yards a carry. I mean, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, doesn't break any long ones. His long run of the day, I'm looking at 8 yards for Eddie Lacy. But that's his long run of the day. And, you know, you don't break any long ones there. And then, you know, the passing game, there was a couple really nice completions. The fourth down to Randall Cobb was huge, of course, when Aaron Rodgers escaped the pocket amazingly. I don't know how he ever escaped the pocket on that throw. How he did that is beyond me. But, you know, that's kind of the Packers probably highlight of the game. But beyond that, you know, there was the nice touchdown throw to Jordy Nelson, but just one touchdown pass on the day. You don't have more than that. And you know, you end up on the losing end. Packers, you know, like I said, average yesterday, and average doesn't cut it when you're playing an above average team like the 49ers, who are now moving on to the divisional round and facing the Carolina Panthers in the next round of the playoffs in Carolina. You know, how nice would it have been for the Packers to get this win and go to Carolina as opposed to going to Seattle? You would think they'd have a chance there, albeit not a given by any means. But anyway, so, I mean, we could sit here and point fingers. Safety Morgan Burnett, once again, didn't have a good game yesterday. He was an absolutely the best position possible to break up that touchdown pass early in the fourth quarter to Vernon Davis, didn't get it done. Morgan Burnett hasn't gotten the job done all year, which is really disappointing. I don't know what to say. As a year after, now a season after he signed that big contract extension, he doesn't live up to it at all. And in fact, has his worst season in the past 3 years. I mean, had Morgan Burnett just kind of played status quo, what he played, you know, like he played in 2012, like he played in 2011, you could live with that. But he regressed this year, and that was disappointing. And so, you know, him, B.J. Raji, certainly didn't have an impact hardly at all this season. I remember there was one game, and I forget which game it is, but B.J. Raji had one big game this year. I think, you know, in my post-game column, my chips report, he got a blue chip one game, and that was it. I mean, minus one game, B.J. Raji hardly had an impact this year. You know, all of these things adding up. James Jones yesterday with a couple drops, and they weren't easy catches. I mean, each one was contested by a defender, but they were all huge. James Jones just comes away with one of those that kind of hit his hands. You know, it could be a different game, because one was, you know, a huge bomb downfield from Aaron Rodgers. I remember another one down the right sideline, kind of a comeback back shoulder fade. And like I said, they weren't easy catches by any means, but I mean, you know, you're a good player. You got to come up with one out of the two, come up with 50%. And it really could change the tone of the game, get momentum going in your favor. All these things just so disappointing as a Packers fan, as you kind of look back at this game and what happened this season for the Packers. You know, they finished the regular season with an 8-7-1 record. Now it's 8-8-1 as you know, 500 record this season. That's all the Packers were. They were an average team. They weren't an above average team. Maybe they might have been had there not been so many injuries and, you know, so many games missed by the likes of Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, and Clay Matthews. And you got to sit here and hope, well, you know, maybe finally these injuries, you know, that the Packers have such hard luck for so many seasons with these injuries. Is it finally time that, you know, that eventually things regress toward the mean, as I tried to ask Eric Edholm earlier? You know, is it just time that the Packers get lucky and they stay on the healthy side for once? Because the difference could be so much more, you know, if those guys are healthy for an entire year, what's the difference then? You know, how much different could that season be? What if Clay Matthews played yesterday? He was certainly in a better position to stop Colin Kaepernick more than any player on the team. I mean, his presence alone, especially if 100%, I mean, we kind of saw him there playing with the cast and kind of hit or miss. But I mean, if Clay Matthews is out there and he's 100%, just look what he did in the season opener against the 49ers. If I remember correctly, Clay Matthews had 3 tackles for a loss. You know, how big would a 3 tackles for a loss been yesterday against the 49ers and against Colin Kaepernick? You know, the Packers sit there and they have all these problems at outside linebacker yesterday as well. To begin with, Mike Neal and Nick Perry, they've been kind of dealing with injuries all season long. Mike Neal with this abdomen issue where he hardly practices all week and then goes out and play games. Nick Perry playing with a broken bone in his heel that's never really, you know, fully kind of healed or gotten him back to 100%. Well, Mike Neal suffers a knee injury yesterday. And then on top of that, Andy Malumba suffers an injury late in the game, albeit he comes back. Now the Packers are down to 1 healthy outside linebacker, Nick Perry, and healthy is a relative term. He's playing not 100% out there. So the Packers got to make Dayton Jones an outside linebacker going out of his comfort zone, a guy who doesn't really play outside linebacker. And yeah, he held his own, but it just goes to, you know, it's the season in a microcosm, these injuries and how they've piled up. And not just at outside linebacker. Unfortunately, Packers cornerback Sam Shields exits on the second play from scrimmage on defense. The 49ers, Packers had the ball first, but when the 49ers had it, second play of the game, Sam Shields goes to make a tackle and is out for the game. Well, the Packers lose their best cover corner. That was a blow. Albeit Devon House, I do credit Devon House, a guy who's kind of, you know, got seen reduced playing time over the course of the season, forced into action. He came up big yesterday in coverage for the most part, but Devon House was rather cruddy in tackling yesterday. And, you know, certainly one of those reasons that Colin Kaepernick was so able to, you know, break, contain, and get outside the pocket and be dangerous. So, kind of a up and down day for Devon House. But, I mean, Sam Shields isn't out there. That's a blow. And, how many injuries did the Packers suffer yesterday? Andy Malumba, Sam Shields, then David Bakhtiari, the Packers' left tackle, goes out of the game late, never returns with a concussion. And David Bakhtiari didn't have a good day either. Across from Alden Smith, I mean, David Bakhtiari's a rookie he didn't have a good day. And it made only worse. Insult added to injury or whatever. Alden Smith dominated him for most of the day out there, you know, getting after the quarterback, harassing Aaron Rodgers. Boy, the 49ers, they they were able to collapse that pocket yesterday, and usually just bringing four rushers. They're so good at, you know, even when they don't blitz, they still get pressure. Even when they don't get to the quarterback, when they don't sack him, that pocket still collapses. And like you can just see when they show those the video angle from the end zone where the pocket collapses and lanes are taken away, passing lanes from Aaron Rodgers. He's not seeing open receivers because there's a defensive lineman right in his face. And Aaron Rodgers does a pretty good job of escaping the pocket and pressure a lot of times, but he can't do it every time. And that's just the difference between the 49ers front seven and the Packers offensive line. Packers offensive line wasn't bad this year, but they've got a ways to go. I am encouraged. I think the Packers offensive line, if they experience good health, could be really good next year. If you've got Brian Bulaga back next season, if you've got Derek Sherrod back to full health, I mean, add those guys to the starting mix next year. And Don Barclay goes from being a starter to being a top backup, which I think is where he belongs. That's nice having Don Barclay as a backup instead of a starter. I think Marshall Newhouse is gone. Marshall Newhouse actually did fine stepping in for David Bakhtiari. It was rather scary to see Marshall Newhouse come in, but he did a fine job, albeit in limited snaps. I think Marshall Newhouse will leave the Packers this year in free agency. We'll see where he ends up. But, here we are on a Monday morning dissecting a Packers loss. I think the attention turns now to what happens with Dom Capers because things happen quickly now. The season comes to a close and decisions pretty much have to be made rather quickly on what the Packers are going to do. They're going to conduct exit interviews with all the players. Mike McCarthy is, I know. And what happens after that, after he gets to the players, I think he gets to the coaches. And Dom Capers, it isn't time for wholesale changes to the Packers organization. If anybody gets the axe, it's going to be Dom Capers. And I'm not sure anybody else would. I don't think there's another guy out there, another coach, who is going to get the axe. I don't know, maybe one I didn't see coming, but I think the Packers will stand put there. If I had to guess, if I'm forced to guess, I say Dom Capers is back. I think, maybe making the playoffs perhaps saved his job. And I think it's an issue of talent and speed and health. And if Dom Capers is provided with those things, with a healthy team, with a little more overall talent and a little bit more overall speed, I think he'll have a much better unit. And I think he comes back, but I'm not exactly confident in that prediction. Like I said, it's the choice is going to come soon. I mean, if Dom Capers is going to get fired, it's going to happen today, tomorrow, 2 days from now, a week at most. They're not going to sit here forever. Mike McCarthy is going to come to a decision rather quickly. So I think Dom Capers' watch is on, and my prediction, he's back, but. I'm not exactly sure, that teams have a way of looking for scapegoats, and Dom Capers could perhaps be it on this Packers team. But you know what, folks? It's now 9 o'clock here on a Monday morning. That'll do it for our season-ending edition of Railbird Central. Don't worry, we'll be back all week long, all year long. I enjoy Railbird Central doing the show just as much in the off season as I do during the regular season. I'm big on the NFL draft and talking prospects and all that, and we got a long run-up to it this year with the draft being in May. We have months in front of us of talking draft prospects, so that's kind of cool. I'm excited to do that, but we'll be back on Wednesday. We'll be bring back for one more time. I feel bad. You know, the past few Wednesdays have fallen on Christmas and New Year's Day. We haven't had a chance to talk to Nathan Yonke, but we'll bring him in for kind of a season wrap-up to look at the Green Bay Packers one last time before we give him the offseason off. But we'll have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com back here on Wednesday. Stay tuned to CheeseheadTV.com for all your news needs all weekend long, all week long. I'm Brian Kiravu. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called In the Kitchen by by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. In the kitchen and the lights will-